Red Pill Retirement Podcast, where we give you the raw, unfiltered truth about retirement planning in the modern age. Pensions and 401ks are quickly becoming a thing of the past, so we're here to share resources and recommendations that will help you create the retirement lifestyle you've always dreamed of. If you're ready to take control of your financial future, we're here to help. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Red Pill Retirement Podcast, and we have another great discussion with Mr. Ian Bond for you today. Today, we're going to be talking about a topic that can be a bit polarizing, and I think if you look at the mainstream media and popular opinion, a lot of people are going to tell you that debt is something to be avoided at all costs. It's the 800-pound gorilla in the room, the thing that's looming over your shoulder and keeping you up at night because you're concerned about whether or not you're going to be able to continue to pay down that debt indefinitely. And although those feelings aren't totally unfounded, my conversation with Ian today is going to shed some light on the fact that debt doesn't always have to be a bad thing. It doesn't always have to be the villain of the financial sector. And in fact, it can be leveraged in certain ways to actually give you the short-term capital you need to accelerate the growth of your business and not only pay back all of the money that you've borrowed, but reap the benefits of increased monthly revenue indefinitely going forward in the future. So today's conversation is going to be all about how to leverage debt responsibly for the benefit of your life and your business. And I think it's one that you're going to really enjoy, so I don't want to hold you back from it any longer. Let's get into my discussion with Ian about debt and entrepreneurship. Welcome back to the show. My name is James Sowers, and I'm joined, as always, by Mr. Ian Bond, still in Dubai for now. But Ian, I understand that you have a trip planned. What do you got going on in the next couple of weeks?
Well, we've got a family trip. We're scheduled to go to first thing tomorrow morning to Kuala Lumpur. We're going to spend a few days there. And then we're going to head up to the colonial town of Georgetown in Penang. There's about a four-hour train ride up from KL to Georgetown, and spend some time at a resort there. And then the first week in September is the third annual Empire Flippers Retreat, and that's one of my most favorite events to attend. So you'll find me there at the end of the first week of September. So I've got quite a good few weeks coming up.
And that's kind of like a mastermind retreat for a bunch of website owners and members of the Empire Flippers audience to get together and just kind of talk shop and have some fun on the side and talk about business.
I love what they do because, you know, if you go to a big conference, generally you listen to the speaker. And then after the speaker speaks, you go out and you grab a donut and a coffee and you hang out with the people you know. With this, it's a mastermind. And, you know, they flipped it. And so everyone gets to know everyone. And, you know, we all keep in touch after it's over. So it's marvelously additive to building relationships. Look, I know a bit, I think, about my little slice of the e-commerce world, but there's such a broad cross-section of people that it's just amazing to hear what's going on. And so, you know, it's only, a short plane flight away from here.
Right. And that sounds like an amazing trip to kind of round out the summer, head into fall. Sounds like it's going to be about 2 or 3 weeks. So what I love about the fact that you're taking that much time off is that's basically what we talk about here on this podcast is how to structure your life and your business and your retirement planning around what you want it to be and not living within the box of the 9 to 5 and you get 2 weeks off per year. And if you try to take them both at the same time, your boss is going to give you a little bit of a glare. Like, I think you have succeeded on designing a lifestyle and building a business around that. So I love that you are putting that into practice and we're not just talking about it in theory here on the show.
So I will tell you this, all honesty, that one of the great things about working abroad is that you generally get 6 weeks of paid vacation. And in 38 years of working, started in 1980, this is the first time I've ever taken 3 weeks off contiguous. As a matter of fact, working in the States, if you took off more than two, you were looked at, it was very much frowned upon. And my last 2 week vacation, I had conference calls every morning. And it was at the end of August, same time of the year, end of August, conference calls every morning because we were looking at capital markets transactions. And so it didn't even feel like a vacation, to be honest.
So I think the take home message for the folks listening is if you're in that job right now where you're trying to take vacation and you're still handling conference calls or responding to emails from the boss or the rest of your team while on vacation and supposedly being unplugged, there is a realistic outcome where you can kind of make a transition into a place that has more freedom and more flexibility to do the things you want and less of the things that you have to. Right.
Absolutely. I couldn't, you know, it's absolutely amazing to me, because the other thing that I didn't mention is that your leave, as they call it, is sacrosanct. No one bothers you. So it's wonderful.
Yeah. And I love leading with that message. And I think that it transitions neatly into what we're actually going to talk about today, because we do talk about a lot of these unconventional approaches to business that actually improve your quality of life and still allow you to be successful as an entrepreneur and as a professional. What we're going to talk about specifically today is something that people have a standard perspective on that may or may not be founded in reality, and the world changes and things change. And today we're going to be talking about debt, which is often perceived as this 700-pound gorilla in the room. It's looming over your shoulder. It's breathing on your neck. And all the debt that you have just keeps you up at night worrying about, how am I going to make these payments? You're looking at your credit card statements or your financial statements, and you're saying, wow, I do have a lot of expenses. And maybe to pay down this debt, I don't have the income to balance that out. But we're here today to tell you that debt doesn't have to be that way if you manage it in the right way. It doesn't have to be a liability. It can actually be an asset. And I know that you have some thoughts on this related to your no nest egg retirement plan and the philosophy behind that. So maybe we'll kick off with your personal thoughts and experiences around debt, and then we'll get into some specific examples.
Yeah. So first of all, this is the most common topic that I talk to people about when I'm having my first kind of Skype consultation with someone. And it comes from, you know, for baby boomers and for Gen Xers, it really comes from our parents and our grandparents. And you know, my grandparents, my grandfathers were born a couple of years either side of 1900. My parents were born in the early 1930s, so just after the crash and in the middle of the Depression. And then they went through the World War II. And, you know, 1914 is when Henry Ford implemented the 8-hour workday, and they moved from having children in factories working 14 to 16 hours to having it be a very regimented 8-hour day. And then, you know, kind of the industrial age and all of the things like pensions were born, and they you know, kind of became ingrained in how we think about not only our retirement, but all of the other things like, you know, kind of debt issues. I would tell you that, you know, far and away, the horrible secret is that, you know, if you have a debt issue or a debt problem, you have no one to talk to. It's almost like you have a scarlet letter on your lapel. Gen X and baby boomers, it happened. You get into debt issues many different ways. But it is a very, very unhealthy relationship that Gen Xers and baby boomers have with debt, because it's never talked about. And there are, you know, first thing you have to do is get, if you're in a debt mindset where you are overwhelmed by debt, you are undoubtedly in a scarcity mindset. And that means that you're not thinking strategically at all. And you need to get out of the mindset and start to think strategically and kind of think about yourself as being a mini bank. And on the one hand, you have debt. On the other hand, you have assets or potential opportunities. And there are times when you shouldn't pay down debt immediately, or you can think about it because you may want to hold cash or because you may want to invest in things. But it takes, sometimes with people that I talk to, it can take several conversations to get people around the level. Now, I'm not addressing the people that are in a monthly burn rate situation where they haven't been able to right their financial position. If you're spending more money than you're bringing in, the first thing you obviously have to do is get it to a point where you actually have some monthly savings. But once you have monthly savings, you have opportunities, you have options.
Well, yeah, and I think you hit on an important point there, which is if you do have debt that you need to pay down, you really have two options. You reduce your expenses or you increase your income. And I think a lot of people will naturally focus on the expenses. They pull in, they tighten up, right? They say, what can I cut? Which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but that is a bit of a scarcity mindset, as opposed to you're talking about, we live in a world of abundance where really the better option probably is to increase your income. And there are multiple ways you can do that. You could get a raise, you could take on another job, you could do consulting and coaching, you could buy a business, you could start a business. But that is an angle that when we're talking about debt, I feel like a lot of people don't consider is I can increase my income and handle the debt that way.
So guilty as charged. I've actually written that when the phone used to ping because my wife was out shopping for groceries or whatever, it would literally send shivers through me because I was so, you know, kind of overwhelmed by this debt obligation that I have. But you're right. I mean, look, you can only do so much on the expense side, but there are things you can do. And there hasn't been anyone that I've done a consultation with that I couldn't come up with a half a dozen different things that they could do or that they should consider. On the flip side, raising your income, raising the revenue that you can bring in for your family is much, there's many, many, many more levers that you can, that you can pull. So it's absolutely, you know, there's much more that you can do. But in concert between the two of them, there are, you have opportunities, you have options.
Right. And to hammer that point home, I mean, there are only so many expenses you can cut. You have basic living expenses. You need to eat. You need to get to and from work. Maybe you need to take the kids and get them cared for so that you can perform at your job, whatever the case may be. You can only trim so much, and then you're still kind of in this conundrum. But as far as increasing your income, frankly, the world is so large. There's 7 billion people out there. There's a way to make more money if you're willing to put in the work and you have the skills and you find the right opportunities. So I think, you know, that ties to the next point that I think we want to talk about is, you know, there are different types of debt. And if you are carrying a balance on a department store credit card that has a 20% interest rate, then yeah, that's bad debt. Every single month, you're just adding to the principal through the interest, and that's something that is going to be an anchor for you and hold you back financially. That's bad debt. But there is another scenario where you actually use short-term debt as an asset to increase income over the long term and not just pay back what you borrowed, but have an ongoing revenue stream that can sustain you indefinitely going forward. So what are your thoughts around that kind of disparity?
No question that, you know, the 20.99% APR debt is really horrible debt. I think probably most of the time I'm talking to people that have student loan debt, to be honest with you. So let's get rid of as much of the very high interest rate debt as you can. Now, when you're dealing with student loan debt, there's a myriad of different options. If it's held by the government, they're incredibly flexible, and you know there are things you can do. And again, the ability to have the option of holding cash versus paying that student loan debt off immediately is a really big option. You can put it towards other things. So you know the reality is get rid of high rate debt. And then, you know, kind of think of yourself like you're a mini bank. You've got assets and you've got liabilities. The problem is when you're in a scarcity mindset, you're not there at all. You're just putting the you know, you're hoping to be able to make the next payment. The other thing that, you know, that well, I know we're going to talk about is, you know, reaching out to your creditors to somehow restructure your debt. But there's no question that you've got options that you can utilize when you're in that situation.
Sure. And you know, I think that it's important to explore those options, but I think maybe even more importantly, it's you need to know that you don't need permission to kind of break free from the established thought that you have based on how you were raised or who runs in your social circle and how they're managing their finances. The world changes. And if we don't adapt with it, frankly, we get left behind. And in a new world, debt doesn't have to be a bad thing as long as you use it in the right way and you have intent and a strategy behind how you're going to leverage the debt to increase your income or improve your business or start a business or something like that.
So I can tell you that in 2013, when it became obvious to me that my expectations of where my earnings would recover to after the financial crisis, we're not going to be there. They're going to be substantially lower, you know, like half of what they were, that, you know, the feeling that I had literally every day of walking around was abject loneliness. There was no one to speak to. Goes back to, you know, kind of the whole social stigma of debt. People don't talk about it in their social circles. You certainly can't engage colleagues at work and talk about it. Even my siblings, who I'm close to, you know, they don't really understand. And so, you know, that's a really, really big deal. And how you deal with it. And, you know, we worry about the plan that we had back from whenever and what the neighbors are going to think and what our social circle is going to think. And the reality is you've got to change with the times, as you point out. I grew up in a neighborhood in the suburbs of Chicago, and these big old homes that everybody had three, four kids back in the 60s. As the kids left, people never left these big old homes. And here we go back, and all the local schools closed. Okay, and so they never changed. Now they didn't have to, because they were in an era in the United States in the 50s and the 60s and even the 70s where housing prices, you know, raced way ahead. And so, you know, those homes are fully paid off. And by the way, the elementary school that I went to, which was two blocks away, had no cafeteria because every kid went home for lunch. It was a different era. Now, you have to, if your mental framework is from that era, I have a notion for you. Things have changed. You know, you have to change. You have to survive. You know, don't be a victim. Be a victor and change. And you know, be the leader. There are lots of groups, including ours, where you know people talk about these topics online because you just can't go next door or to relatives or to, you know, work colleagues and have these conversations. So you're absolutely right.
Right. And, you know, debt is viewed as a bit of a dirty word, and people don't like to talk about money in general for the most part, but they especially don't like to talk about money that they owe to other people. And, you know, anybody listening at home, I think there's an important point in here in that a lot of times you see everyone else's highlight reel, but you don't see what's on the cutting room floor, right? Like if you talk to somebody about their family, they're going to tell you, oh, you know, my son's doing great. He got a promotion. He's got a baby on the way. But they don't tell you about the drama, and every family has drama. So in the same way, most people, in fact, I think it's something like 80% of people, at least in the US, are living paycheck to paycheck. So that guy next door that you think is doing great is probably just like you. And part of that is a discussion around debt, and people have debt. They have student loan debt. It's, a lot of people are talking about that as the next big financial crisis or bubble that might burst here in the States. So the point here is you're not alone. And I think for the next two points that we want to make here during this episode are, if somebody is carrying debt, some of that bad debt we talked about, what are some strategies that they can use to pay that down so that they're in a position to leverage the good debt to kind of improve their financial situation or generate a runway or an emergency fund or start a business or whatever their plan might be individually. So one specific scenario I think we want to attack is someone who's carrying a bunch of that bad debt, and you touched on it. You can actually go to your debtor and you can negotiate with them different terms for paying that down based on your individual situation. So do you have any specific examples of that or stories of people that have done that with great success?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked, because I do. I have someone that I know through this endeavor, and he had a situation with one of the very large banks where they changed the terms on an unsecured line of credit, and it made his payments very, very tight. We're now over 9 years in an economic expansion. His job feels less certain to him. And by the way, do not be paying down debt if you think a pink slip could be up around the corner. You know, squirrel that debt away. But anyways, you know, he reached out to his creditor, and this took a number of months. It took a couple of years for him to get to this level of having kind of a constant dialogue about where he was with his career coming in on retirement, being subject to a mandatory retirement. And he renegotiated with his creditor, one of the large U.S. banks, and he was able to not only lower to pennies on the dollar a very substantial sum, but he was actually able to repurchase the note from the bank, actually a third party repurchased the note, a friendly third party repurchased the note, which means that the forgiveness of the debt, the amount that he's that he will no longer owe the bank, doesn't show up as W-2 income, and he doesn't have to pay taxes on it. So he literally saved taxes on $200,000 worth of what would have been phantom income because he repurchased the note. But that took a lot of cultivation of the relationship with this major bank and the bank officer. And a lot of the banks right now, because we are late in the economic cycle, a lot of the banks are trying to get some of these suspicious loans off their books. They have the ability, particularly if they've written them down, they have the ability to write them off, get on with their business. And, you know, if you've managed it correctly, it's actually an excellent strategy. If you're in a situation where you're literally not going to be able to repay it without, you know, putting your family's future really in peril. And look, he is an upstanding guy. The bank, which, you know, he was negotiating with, acquired another bank. You know, terms that were expressed orally back in the day no longer were subject. So a lot of things had changed. He wouldn't abrogate his debt for a lot of moral and ethical reasons. But when it comes down to brass tacks of, you know, kind of taking care of his family, you know, or paying off an obligation for which there's all these, you know, kind of cloudy and suspicious, you know, kind of facts around, he went that route.
Yeah. And, you know, I can already tell that this is a topic that's probably going to have a part two because there are some technicalities in there. Yeah. Every situation is different. But the point that we want to hammer home here is it doesn't hurt to put in a call to your debtor and talk about your situation and say, hey, I'm in a bit of a pinch right now. The way that things are structured right in currently are not working for me. So what are my options? And it doesn't hurt to ask that and let them tell you what your options are. And if you find somebody in your social circle, break the norm and talk to them about their debt and your debt. And odds are they might have been through a situation like that before. They might be someone like the person you just described who could say, oh man, I cut my debt in half. I saved a bunch of money because I went and I asked these questions and I talked to these people.
So James, I've worked in banking for over three dozen years. Every bank has reserves against their loans outstanding, whether they're credit cards, whether they're mortgage loans, whether they're unsecured loans. Every bank out there has you know estimated losses, and they you know banks reserve against these things. And so reaching out to them, which is for a lot of people something they wouldn't even think about, is absolutely the best strategy that you can employ. Start the dialogue. You will find that if you have a personal loan, it's a lot easier to reach out to them than if you have a credit card loan. But even with credit cards, there are lots of different things that you can do. But you have to have a dialogue. So right. start sooner rather than later, because when your name comes up on the phone in the next month or 6 months from now, you don't want it to be the first time. And particularly, we're late in the economic cycle. And you know, if your company is going through a merger, if there's downsizing potentially in the offing, if you think you might get a pink slip, if you're going to be forced to retire, any number of reasons, start the conversation early.
Yeah. And there are options that you can refinance. They might even write off your debt. They might just lower your payment and extend kind of the payment life cycle. There are a bunch of different options. So the point is, ask the question. And, you know, I think you just had a great segue into the last point we want to cover today, which is that situation where somebody thinks they might get a pink slip. Something's not quite feeling right at work, and there's some transitions that might be on the horizon, and they're worried about possibly either being let go or laid off or fired. So what you're advocating for is don't pay down that debt, but what would you suggest somebody does instead?
You hold the cash. Okay. I mean, I could be, and I've, you know, in the nest egg program, we talk about establishing a disaster fund. We talk about looking for a low cost place to live, the ability to downsize from your current run rate. And I can tell you, I've been out of work a couple times during my career, and living in expensive payments, it takes, you know, 9 months to blow through all your savings. And so it doesn't take long. So if you can, you know, squirrel the money away and not use it to pay down the debt. And if you can also have a plan and build a big disaster fund, and if you can also have a plan of someplace where you and your family can live at a much reduced rate, it could be, could be family that lives close by from you, or it could be another country where you can live for the fraction of what you live for. So I also have a friend who was given the pink slip. This was before the financial crisis, and he took the opportunity to do volunteering work while the rest of the world was in turmoil. So in his CV, when he came back and started and the economy picked up, he looks like he did something that, kind of the person on the other side of the table was jealous of. Had world travels, did volunteering work for a charity they believed strongly in, and used the time very wisely. And saved a ton of money. So I'm a big proponent of doing that. And, one of the things I tell people to do is when you're taking your vacation or your holiday, go visit a place you think that might work for you and your family, where it's much reduced cost of living, where you could spend some time and, start to think about these things. What might make sense for you to do in terms of volunteering or alternative study or any kind of avocation that you might have.
Right. So you're saying hold the cash, get yourself a runway or an emergency fund so that if the worst case scenario comes up and you do get laid off, that you haven't invested all that money into paying down bad debt, you have it available for you to start to explore alternatives and get yourself back on your financial footing. And that ties into the previous point we just made. If you do lose your job or something like that, that is all the more reason to go back to your debtor and negotiate a change in the payment structure or pause the payments or something like that until you get back on your feet financially.
Yeah. So cash equals options. Okay. Cash equals options. All right. Give away the cash, no options. Okay. Think of yourself as a bank. Lose the scarcity mindset, start to be strategic, but cash equals options.
Definitely. And, we've covered a lot of great material today. I know that time just flew by. I'm sure we'll be back for a part 2 because we can talk about the different types of debt that you can take on, both good and bad. We could talk about some of the technicalities of the negotiations and everything. But I think that what we really want to make sure that everybody walks away with today is that abundance mindset. We don't live in a world of scarcity. You don't have to live in fear because you're carrying debt. You can take action to pay down the bad debt, and you can use good debt to increase your income and improve your overall position. And frankly, if you go about it in the right way, that kind of transformation can take place pretty quickly. So, Ian, it looks like you got some parting words.
I was just going to say, the only other thing that I would add to abundance mindset is that you're not alone. And Gen X and baby boomers, the debt cloud that you're walking around underneath, you've got to lose that as quickly as you can. And, read some of the material on our blog, join our community, you can't be strategic when you're worrying that every ping on your phone is your wife spending money on groceries and you're upset. And I did that in 2013. Okay. So right. I'm guilty. Okay.
Yeah, and I'm really glad you touched on that because I definitely don't want to forget about that, because debt can have implications for other areas of life, your relationships, your health. If you're stressed out about this kind of stuff, that's going to not just affect your profession.
Oh, it was horrible. My wife called me a financial terrorist. Okay, so wow. she's not, doesn't happen to be here right now, but she called me a financial terrorist. That crock pot you bought is going to lead us to financial ruin or whatever, Right. It was horrible. It was a horrible mindset to be in, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. And literally it was one of the reasons that I spent the time and put together the no nest egg plan. And, what we've tried to do is, everyone wants to out intellectualize everybody with their fancy, retirement planning programs. Ours is really is common sense for common people. It's not highbrow, and it's very practical, and it's the new economy. It's the real world, and it's not the retirement planners, the guys with the whole alphabet after their names. They want to believe that they're doing something to you that's rocket science, and they're not. And I'm here to tell you, they've worked for me in the past, and it's it's just not the case. So, you know, what we offer is, you know, kind of real world solutions in the new economy that really work.
So if you're sitting at home and you're feeling depressed, sad, overwhelmed, lonely about debt and its presence in your life, then we have the No Nest Egg Retirement Plan that you can check out. We'll link everything that we talked about today up in the show notes, and those will be available at redpillretirement.com. And of course, like I mentioned before, we'll probably come around and cover this topic again. So you're going to want to subscribe for updates. But in the meantime, Ian, I think we'll have to call it there for today. We'll definitely come back around to this. But until I talk to you next time, enjoy that trip with your family. I hope you guys have a blast and safe travels.
Thank you, James. Look forward to seeing you again.
Sounds good. Take care.
All right, so there you have it. That concludes my conversation with Mr. Ian Bond about debt and the role that it plays in entrepreneurship and business building. And I think what we really accomplished here today was disproving or otherwise invalidating the traditional view that debt is always a bad thing. It doesn't have to be that way. In fact, it can be something that you leverage in the short term to drive up revenues in the long term without putting yourself at too much risk. And you know, three key takeaways we have for you today are: one, just what I said there, you can use short-term debt to increase revenues and grow your business faster and more efficiently, and then use those additional revenues to pay down the debt and mitigate any risk, real or perceived, that you might have had coming into it. Second, if you're planning on retiring soon, or if you expect a pink slip, paying down debt is the last thing you should be doing. You should be stockpiling that cash. You should be giving yourself a safety net or a nest egg or a runway so that if you do make the retirement decision or you do receive that pink slip, you have cash reserves that you can float in the meantime until you can start a business or find a new revenue stream that can support you into retirement. And then finally, you know, most people don't even consider negotiating with the person or the entity that holds their debt. And in many cases, you can go back to them and explain your situation and negotiate better terms, whether that's a lower payment, a better interest rate, a refinancing, or even writing off your debt entirely. And any of those outcomes can put you in a better financial situation than you might be in today. So if you took nothing else away from this episode, or if you enjoyed the conversation a little too much to take notes, those are three key takeaways that I want you to walk away with today and see how they might apply to your life and to your business. So we'll wrap it up there. I hope you enjoyed the conversation today. And as always, we'll link everything up in the show notes that we talked about. And otherwise, we look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Take care and drive on.